This is the June 23 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find and listen to the whole of this program, our other programming as well, online anytime you'd like, on demand at WILLAG.org, or look us up in your favorite podcast application. Chip Nellinger through Thursday afternoon this week, and it's been a short trading week. That doesn't seem like it, but it has been a short trading week this week. Things have not been very good. Can you tell me about the decline, please?
Well, it's been a massive fund liquidation, and the first and foremost is going to be kind of put on the weather forecast, right? Which compared to Friday coming into Tuesday, we did see a little cooler temperatures with the high pressure ridge supposedly moving to the west and cooling us down, and some better chances of rain in Iowa. East of the Mississippi, it looks like the rain's going to be sparse. And so if you look at the price action or a chart, you'd think, man, it's raining everywhere and the crop's saved and we've got a record crop coming. I have to believe it's just a generalized, I don't know whether it's the inflation trade is over, billions of dollars flowing back out of the energy markets and commodity markets, it's somebody, a fund or funds blowing up, but it's getting to the extreme here. And honestly, if you really dig into the weather forecast, we've got some problems here. And on the drive over here, we've got corn rolling. It looks okay. I know right now it's probably not doing any yield damage, but if we don't get some rain 10 days down the road, we've got some serious problems on this crop.
Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, is inflation over? Is that the deal in this marketplace?
Well, it's more of a concern maybe a recession could kick in through here and the economy could struggle here and maybe future demand could struggle. But, man, you look at the basis levels, they remain strong. Cows still have to eat. The ethanol guy still needs some corn. So we'll see how this plays out. But I agree with Chip, it's mainly maybe fund liquidation. We saw the red line go below the green line and by the guy they got on the sell side. But on the crop conditions, when you go out in the morning, it looks fairly good. But by mid-afternoon, we're rolling up fairly tight. And we are in the ear-setting stage for some of this crop. But like Chip said, we got a long ways to go in through here. A year ago, though, we got to remember, if you look at the chart, we ran $2 up from April to May. From May into June, we dropped $1.50, back up $1.40, down $1.20. So we had dollar swings there for about 3 months. So it's going to stay volatile. So hopefully we'll get that dead cat bounce.
Both Chip and Kurt are right on all everything they're saying. I don't think the inflation thing is over. We have way too many people in Washington that want to stay with the green thing, and we don't want to do the right thing. Taking 15 cents a gallon off in taxes is not enough that we should do. We need to keep our roads in good shape. But the fact of the matter is, we saw, as Chip said, fund liquidation. We saw the funds running. They lost a lot of money in the stock market. Their funds went down, and they're going to cash for right now because we don't know whether they're going to be a – their soft landing is pretty much off the table. It's going to be a kaplop. And they don't want to be in there and have funds to buy and rebuy these stocks at that point in time. And they're protecting their money that way. The forecasts, you know, we've got a little bit of this. We got a little hope of that. We cooled off just a little bit. I don't know. Go outside and see how it is. I had the kids over trying to replant some stuff and dig holes for bushes to plant them in. If you didn't dump a 5 gallon bucket of water on the yard, you didn't dig much of a hole. So it's dry out there. And we had 3 inches less than a week ago. And it is still dry, dry, dry. I was talking to Dan Zwicker this morning. And Dan tells me it doesn't look bad, but the ears are nubbins down there. They did not get the moisture to finish and what's going on. Talking down to Arkansas, talking there. Some of the stuff that was planted early March, oh, God, it looks great, and it's tasseling in 100 to 105 degree heat this week. Is that good? The corn that didn't get in after the rains as wet as they were is only about 3-4.5 foot high, and it hasn't grown in the past 10 days because of all the heat. So lots of problems out there. Lots of problems trying to get grain shipped out of Ukraine, too.
Speaking of Dan Zwicker, a month from now, Dan will be in town, and he'll join us for our Commodity Week discussion. So put that on your calendar. Dan will be back. Many of you follow him very closely or have when he was still working, and he's decided to come back and stay with us one more time for Commodity Week. So we'll talk to him about a month from now. Chip, I want to discuss the expiration of the July. What does this mean when those contracts go off the board? And it seems to be involved in this fund liquidation.
Yeah, I think added on to that, you've got an option expiration coming too. So when you get these big liquidation events, you know, it's not the long options. People let those expire worthless in the case of calls. It's the short side. So as you go through strike after strike after strike on the downside, the short put holders are left holding the bag. They have to panic. They have to come in and sell the market. Otherwise, they're going to be placed long futures. And it just adds to the selling pressure. So I think where you were going with that, though, is what happens when we get past first notice day in the July and roll the cash bids. We've seen in the past commercials trying to, in my opinion, scare some bushels out of the hands of farmers by whacking 30 or 40 cents off a basis. I think we're deep enough in the game they don't do that. I think when they roll it, most likely to the December, it's going to be a big number. And, you know, between now and new crop, particularly that August-September time frame, it is going to get tight on both corn and beans. This crop was generally planted late, so there's not going to be a lot of new crop corn. And I think Wayne had a great point that I just wanted to add on. The southern crop, you know, a lot of people say that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Missouri or Kentucky or Tennessee raises, but it really does because in the big picture, when we see the big high-yielding crop years, it's the southern Illinois, it's the Kentuckys, it's those quote-unquote fringe areas that supposedly don't count. Producers there think they don't count, but they really do because it's what helps you get that bump up into that big yield. So if we continue with the heat like Wayne was talking about, you know, the southern tier, you take the top end off of that, and it's just another big hurdle against a big crop nationally.
We've got lots of things that have been happening since Memorial Day. Three-day weekend, Juneteenth this week, three-day weekend, July 4th, three-day weekend after the June 30th grain stocks report, which is next Thursday, and then Monday will be closed. Sounds like a triple witching hour across the whole month to me.
Yeah, the grain stocks report and the acreage report. The key, I think, is probably the grain stocks report. Did we overestimate last year's production? How much remaining inventory is actually out there? Because as we get towards year end in here, this new crop's not going to come along fast enough to satisfy the old crop demand there before it floats into the new. So that'd be the interesting thing to watch. And of course, the acreage number, the trade kind of believes we'll have an extra million bean acres. And as far as corn, some believe we'll have a million acres more, some believe we'll have a million acres less. So we'll have to watch the North Dakota numbers, see if they really came in and gave us some accurate numbers or not.
Poet near you shut down the portion of the ethanol plant that was running ethanol. They are opening that back up. Is there any other news about that related to demand and whether they really are going to pull this off?
I think they are. I mean, number one, they got the tax abatements through. Once they got those through, they said they're going to open it up. It'll probably be spring of 23, but they are talking about the amount of bushels they're going to buy, and they are already out there talking about, you know, offering bids and that to do that. So, and they look like they are going to crush more than they were before. They're pumping everything up to look good. And they must have got some of the money because they were thanking the government for all their help on things. So they did get some government money to do this. But it's going to be great for our area. I think it'll raise the basis 3 to 5 cents, if not a nickel or more, in the area where I'm at, because they will be pulling more from the south and taking away from Lafayette and Cargill, Linden, and the Anderson's plant. It'd be Total Farm Marketing or Total
Grain.
Grain Marketing that took over the Anderson's spot there. So, like I say, it is going to help us. We're going to have a lot better basis in the coming year because of it.
Well, I wondered about it, and I asked about it purposely because they're bringing it back online, and it's ethanol that went offline. And it will add the capacity in the United States, and that means they really have to think that ethanol demand is going to stay strong right through next spring at least and for a longer period of time.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, look at it. What can be the better thing? If we could actually go out and put 12% instead of 10% in all our ethyl, look how much that we would take off the refineries that are old and we can't have and we're running at maximum capacity. We could actually pump out another 2% of gas here just for the country, and that would help things immensely. That would be a way I think we ought to go instead of talking to the Saudis and Venezuela and everybody else like that. You know, they all say, oh, we're taking food for fuel here like that. How many grocery stores you go in, you see cornmeal stacked up like flour or anything like that? I mean, there's corn tortillas, there's a little bit of cornbread, but corn is made to feed hogs, cattle, sheep, and ethanol plants.
In fact, as you look at the numbers from the USDA, about a third of the crop goes into livestock, poultry, beef cattle, dairy cattle for milk, and hogs, naturally. About a third of it actually goes into folks' gas tank, 5 billion bushels or so, and then the rest is exported or left in the bin. So there really is plenty. And what you were trying to explain there was that there's E15, which has to be put into blender pumps, but if you can go from 10% to 12%, which has not been pushed that hard, but could be put in place because the EPA has already managed, and this was done some time ago, to say it's okay to put in cars that are 2001 and newer. I believe it's 2001, could be 2000, but that is an option going forward. So let's talk a bit more about this marketplace. When farmers are calling you this week, I expect they're worried because, one, they'd like or would have liked to have sold some maybe more new crop, but were hesitant because while they had a crop in the ground, that ground was really dry and remains that way. What do you tell them to do?
Pray for a rally here to get back to. I wish I could. I should. I would have. You know, we got up that 750 area, and guys had visions of $8. Then even up till last weekend with the forecast and so forth, there was still hope that we could get up there and get some higher cash sales in place. But yeah, right now we're kind of froze here, waiting to see how this thing plays. But a lot of guys sold a little bit too much early and are needing to make some catch-up sales here, but we got to get a little further along. They feel a little bit more comfortable with the crop before pulling the trigger.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's almost kind of time for what I'll call a Hail Mary. I think you can come in and get some calls bought, because here's the problem. I can envision very easily the funds get puked out of what they need here relatively short order if it wasn't the end of it today. You rally back on short covering next week because of the long holiday and the stocks and acreage report. Maybe get back up to $7.710 December futures. You look at a chart that's right in the middle of no man's land. The bulls don't know what to do. The bears don't know what to do. It's going to be hard not to want to sell next time we get north of 7. If you have some calls bought down here, they've gotten a lot cheaper than they were 3 weeks ago. It gives you a little more comfort saying, I can sell this rally, and if it still goes to $8 and it doesn't rain, I'm going to add on to those sales. Or if you get the right rally, you flip those calls with some profits into puts, and you sit tight and wait on the weather.
I agree with what Chip said about the call and put options like that. Great idea. But, I mean, down in here, I think that we kept saying, get up to where you can cover your expenses when we get over this $7, $7.25, $7.50 mark. And I don't think they did it. I think that a lot of people are back. I think that a lot of your marketing firms or recommendation people are there at 45, 50%. And a lot of them pulled the trigger this week on the way down. Awfully hard thing to do. Nobody paid attention to it. But, you know, they did put those recommendations out. And I think that they are going to be sorry maybe they didn't follow those, because we have some awfully expensive corn in the field, beans in the field, when you look at the fertilizer prices and chemical prices, and we've got to cover a little more expense than what we thought we did before. But I think we can see some weather problems as we come back in. You know, if you're watching Eric on Snodgrass, he still isn't saying this is good weather here. He still thinks there's going to be another round or two of weather scares, and I think that we're going to get one more chance, maybe two more chances to try to make it into this market. But I do like the idea of sort of sitting tight till after the 4th of July and looking and seeing what the weather forecast is in, and then coming back in and buying some cheap calls.
You're shaking your head in agreement.
Yeah, Chip, you got a great idea there. Keep an eye on that and do that, because the call option volatility has came down significantly in through here, and they're a lot cheaper. But if you come in here and buy like a 750 call, what you do is we go back up, make the cash sales, because if you sell cash, grain goes higher, you're always going, what did I do that for? What, I'm kicking myself in the rear end. But you want to be on board. If this market goes back north of 750, we can have a pretty good jump. But the courage call opportunities, I think, here on Friday, if not next week.
How important is it that this week that there were analysts that were suggesting producers make additional sales on this way down? It's easy to make a sale, relatively speaking, scale up, but much harder when you decide to pull the trigger on the way out.
Well, what happens is, if you're looking at the chart, if you got a formation there and you turn down, you break the support lines, you go below moving averages, the trend turns down, and so you want to get short. If you can't sell on the way up, make cash sales on the way up, you know, some like to look for a sell signal, and that did happen. Now, whether or not that's the high or not, we still got a lot of growing season in front of us. But the key is, where are you personally? I mean, if you're already 75% sold, there's no reason to add to it. But if you're only 10, 15% sold and it starts going down, you need to get someone on right away. That's why you work with Chip and Wayne and all the other analysts on your program to fine-tune it to your own particular situation, your own comfort zone.
I want to stay with you just for a moment. Technically, what happened this week? What are the major things that took place in both the corn and the soybean markets?
Well, technically, I got a chuckle today because we got a report from a guy just today that said, yeah, we're due for a seasonal or cycle low this week. And I go, well, why didn't you tell us that last week? So we would have known it. But the thing is, last Friday, we had the beginning of the week here, we just kind of rolled over, rolled down. We've moved below some support levels. What I think we got to watch is this 750 area in the December corn and this $14 level in the November beans. If we kind of can hold that, I think we kind of regroup, then you can maybe measure halfway back up or 62% back up to those highs.
Let's turn your attention to the old crop. There will be bushels that are out there. They're in short supply. What do you tell producers to do with those now?
Hold it. You know, they were gambling stocks. They're still gambling stocks. The basis just continues to improve. The July-December spread moved out to almost a dollar inversion today. I'm not sure where that settled. That's not a bearish signal. So I'd probably be in Wayne's camp. Give this thing till after the 4th of July. If we don't get much more rainfall, you haven't seen the highs yet. And that old crop stocks that you have are going to be golden. They're going to be worth gold. So if you gutted it out this far, I think you got to stay in the game. Don't sell it now. Wait till after the 4th and get a little better picture on what the new crop's going to do, because nothing to say. We've seen the highs yet.
Let's turn your attention now to next week's June 30 acreage and grain stocks figures. We'll start with the old crop or the grain stocks figures, Wayne. What are your expectations, and how important is this number to the marketplace of the two of them?
Well, it's an important number when you look at it. And one of the things that we keep hearing is that the one stocks, the number is a lot smaller than what the total stocks have been shipped out. And maybe we used more than we haven't. And if they take that into consideration and we see what the real stocks are and they're lower than what we think we are, number one, that's going to help the carry out. And number two, it's going to tighten things up to where the basis is going to continue to stay extremely strong.
So just to explain about this report, the June 30 stocks is as of June 1. It's an actual survey, roughly speaking, a real accounting, USDA says, because they have something like 9,000 places, most of them across the United States, that store grain and ask them what's in the bin today. What do they have on that date? The one place that they can't really track is livestock consumption all of the time, especially if it's on the farm, but that's how that number is compiled.
We've seen this movie before. I'm a conspiracy guy, man. I tell you, once we get in roll past August 31st in the new crop, we're going to find out they're probably not there. But we'll we'll see. But I think I'm sticking to the theme I've been looking at and believing here. You can have all kinds of supplies around, but how much is really available? How much is really going to be given up? And I think you need to look at that on the world supply-demand balance sheet. It's called food security and greed. So you may have those stocks, but they might not be given up. They might hang on to them.
Grain stocks, and go ahead and roll right into the acreage figures too.
Yeah, I think Kurt hit it pretty well on the head earlier. You know, if they were right on the March acreage report, I don't see how corn acres go up, but there are a faction of people out there that think they're going to go up a million and a half acres. The people we talked to, you know, there's no way it did in the Dakotas. I talked to people in the South that got too late. They didn't plant all the corn they wanted to, switched to beans. We have producers in Southern Illinois that didn't get all the corn in the ground they wanted. I can't fathom how corn acres go up. I can be in the camp that bean acres go up 1.5 million, 2 million because of the switching and the late planting on corn. You know, I'm maybe seen that Kurtz movie before, and I might be a conspiracy guy. I just cannot see how they can raise a corn acreage, but it doesn't mean they won't. But I'd probably be an unchanged to lower corn and probably, you know, between 1 million and 2 million higher in beans.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, we can move these acres up and down 1 million, but you need to take that times the yield. And you're talking, you know, 170 million bushels on corn, maybe 50 million bushels on beans. That's a lot of bushels in my own account. But the thing is, after we get this out of the way, you got to put a yield on it. You move corn yield up and down 4 or 5 bushels, bean yield up and down 1 or 2 bushels. That's going to move the bottom line more than what the total worry on the acres are.
I just add to that. I did the exercise a couple days ago. For a presentation I did, and we were talking about acres. And what I did was I took the supply and demand balance sheet from what the USDA had in June. And I said, what if we have 2 million more acres of beans? It went up 110 million bushels in the carryout. What if we're 3 bushels lower on bean yields, leaving demand and everything constant? We have 10 million bushels left. So to your point, yield, Mother Nature is going to be much more of a factor than what any yield change or acreage change that we see.
I know that you have good contacts in the South. Talk to me about that acreage in the South and what you think it looks like.
I think there's a lot more cotton put in the South this year. It was real good price. Well, it was real good price until this last week or so. So I think that we're going to see a few less bean acres down there than what there were last year just because of that. There was going to be some, but the bean acres creeped up a little bit because they didn't get quite as much corn planted. Part of them got their corn planted early and good in March and like that, and some of them got it planted late. And I know that there was probably, you know, just in the area that I am familiar with a lot, there could have easily been 10 to 15,000 acres of corn that was going to be corn turned into beans. So, you know, it's a question mark down there. But the fact of the matter is now they're dry, they're pollinating in a really bad situation, and the crops are standing still because the heat come a little earlier than usual.
So as we wrap up our time together, I want to talk a little bit about China as it relates to what we started with, inflation, energy, the fallback in the marketplace, COVID lockdowns, supply chain issues which continue. Will they be there as an export market for U.S. corn and soybeans in the coming marketing year as strongly as they were this marketing year?
I think initially, I think they need the product. I think they're also hoping that South America, Brazil in particular, bounces back with more planted acreage and a big crop, and they're going to take it from them, and it will fall off the cliff if that happens. But that's going to be, you know, months out in front of us. So I think between now and Brazil, new crop supplies, they need the product. We're one of the only places in the world to get corn and beans currently, and they're going to come to us.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be there. There's no urgency to buy right now in a downtrend, but they did a little experiment by welding people in their apartments and not letting them out, and they got pretty hungry. So I think they learned a lesson. They need to have plenty of supplies around. They continue to say, like, food security. So they're going to be there, and they're going to shop around, and hopefully they'll be here this fall and winter.
Does a wild card in this marketplace remain the Ukraine-Russia issue?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the places that China's going to go to for more of their stuff. They're buying it cheaper there. They want to buy their stuff, and they know that's a friendly attitude there, and they're buying coal, they're buying this, they're buying whatever. And I think we're going to see more of, we're going to lose ground to what Russia is going to move on into China along the way. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that we still have the export business, but China doesn't like us. They're looking to set it up, and they keep pushing about Taiwan, and there's a lot of little major problems there, and we aren't doing a real good job of negotiating right now.
Has this week changed your position in the marketplace or position on the marketplace from the Memorial Day timeframe? Have you changed your mind as to what direction this might? You don't need to tell me which way you've changed your mind yet. We might come back to that. But have you changed your mind about which direction this market is headed at this point?
That's a tough question. I don't think I've changed my mind, but corn especially on the chart, in my opinion, got a little bit too deep. I still think there are going to be big rallies. And I mentioned earlier, you know, I really think we're going to get back to 7, 7, 10, right in the middle of things. And then it is really tough. And so you're betting entirely on weather at that point. So I haven't changed my position yet or my thoughts, but I think it's going to get harder now to know what to do on this next rally that likely could start unfolding next week.
I think it just confirms that the players have changed. And what I mean by that, we're not trading against each other. We're trading against computers and portfolio managers and black boxes and so forth. And I think I've just confirmed that you got to have a plan ahead of time. And the main thing is you got to have some staying power.
I want to follow up with you in a moment, but has it changed your position at all, Wayne?
Yeah, algorithms have no heart. They don't care about anybody or anybody else. Before, when we had traders on the floor, they knew each other, whatever. They jabbed a little bit, but they didn't crucify each other. Black boxes crucify anybody and everybody out there, and they don't care who they are. And when they get a headline, whether it's true or false, it moves the market for a while. When they see a weather forecast that's favorable to what they want to change, it knocks the market or raises the market for what it is. That's why the volatility factor is so high, and we're taking a lot of the small traders out of this market just because it's just too dangerous to trade.
Well, that was my follow-up question, actually. The volatility is high. However, the market always trends back to what the fundamentals of supply and demand tell them. And the bottom line is the cash market moves the marketplace, so it does come back. There might be a lot more volatility. How have you adapted to help producers, those who trade, move through this marketplace?
Well, we moved to more covered positions. You know, if you're long the futures, have a put to cover, or you can be long futures, sell a call, collect some of that premium. It's nice to say if I got a hedge on, I got a stop on it or replacement stop. But, you know, if you're a hedger, you just got to have a good banker to make the margin calls and stick with it. And two, you got to stick to the plan. If you sell a call and collect that premium, when you get there, you got to make a cash sale and come out. I mean, there's all kinds of strategies, but you got to stick to it because, like we experienced here, Wayne said, you'll get crucified if you don't have your timing set right.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You got to have a plan. And this volatility that you've just seen, we talked about earlier, maybe it's setting up an opportunity. We talk a lot about the psychological pain that these markets produce, and it's easy to just want to, you know, duck under the desk and, you know, stick your head in the sand and do nothing. But the volatility provides opportunities both to the upside and the downside. And, you know, we might be staring one of those in the face right now that we're on a, you know, multi-month low in here. You just have to have a plan. You know, that was mentioned earlier, and follow through and execute and just be really aware of the psychological pain that these markets cause, because it's easy to get in that trap and get, you know, like a deer in the headlights, and it's not the time to do that.
Time for a final word from you folks here. Let's start with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana.
Well, Todd, I think we're going to look at some volatility with the report. But I think the main thing that we have to look at here more than anything is what the weather forecast is going to be. I think that And of course, you know, it's the two W's this year. It's the weather and the war. I do not see this letting up to have Ukraine have a safe passage anywhere with grain for a long time. So I think the weather is going to be the biggest thing for our farmers looking out here. Watch your weathermen, see what you think.
Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois.
Yeah, there's going to continue to be a lot of noise and a lot of emotion in the marketplace. I think you just got to stay flexible and conservative. And what would be my concern, if you're a trader, you know, just trade lightly, tread lightly.
And from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois, Chip Nellinger.
Well, just, you know, second what these guys said. Have a plan. Don't get caught up in the emotion. You know, understand that, you know, fundamentals will win in the end. And you mentioned, Todd, the cash markets are going to win in the end. But in the meantime, it's going to get psychologically difficult. So you have to have a plan, prepare for volatility, and protect yourself, right? Protect yourself. There's ways through options, through some different crop insurance products on 23 crop. There's ways to protect yourself and still have upside, and you need to remain flexible.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may hear the whole of the program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Kirk Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, and Chip Nellinger. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.